God bless you today, beloved. Amen. I want you to know today that you are not alone in your fight. I know you feel like many times that you're alone, and there is an aspect of you being an individual between you and God, but you're not alone in this fight. There are really only two people. There's the first Adam and the last. And you're in one or the other. So either way, you're not alone. Whether you're perishing with many, or whether you're being renewed day by day by the Holy Spirit, you're being renewed with many. So you're not alone. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let the devil deceive you. You're not alone. We're all in this fight together. And praise the Lord. May God give you the grace and the courage to keep your head up. Keep moving forward in Jesus' name, amen. I want to minister to you today, of course, on the same subject that I always minister on because I believe that's really what the Father's called me to do, is to preach the gospel, the real gospel, the new covenant in His blood. Praise God. But this scripture here is a wonderful, wonderful portion of scripture to talk about the two covenants because it is a scripture that is often used by the devil himself and many people to push away holiness, to push away any kind of consecration or purity in our lives. And a lot of people today are believing, that grace, the faith movement, the prosperity movement, whatever it may be. They're believing that somehow this means that there is no longer any need for denying ourselves, for following any kind of rules or standards, And so all that stuff is mocked as religion. And often they use verses like these in Colossians chapter 2. But in Colossians chapter 2, it's so powerful. Because really, what he's talking about is the difference of the two covenants. He's not saying that we, as new covenant believers, are now just free to do whatever. Nothing really matters anymore because Jesus died on the cross. That's not what he's saying at all. He's contrasting two different covenants. You see, the old covenant put a demand on our life. To produce what God commands and what He desires. And our life was not able to accomplish that. That's the old covenant. So, in the old covenant, there's all kinds of stipulations. Don't taste, don't touch, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. And all of those things were commands to our life to produce the righteousness of God. And of course, we find out as we pursue Him and as we look intently into His Word that the reason He sent that covenant was not so we could prosper or we could have success or we could produce righteousness. No, it was to show us that we could not. And I know it's a harsh thing to say, but we need to bring it into our perspective. The people that He gave the Word to ended up in ovens being burnt and killed in the earth. Now, if we really believe God's word, that's not always the worst thing that could happen to a people, because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But the point I want to make is that the Jews were not able to take the word and truly have success. Now, they did temporarily at times. But it wasn't meant to bring success. It wasn't really meant to make the Jews the head of all the nations. That's not what it was about. That's still what many Christians are trying to do in the prosperity movement. They want to become the head of everything. Every promise in the Old Covenant, every single one, was not to the seeds of Abraham. It was to the seed, singular. That's what Galatians teaches us. Very important we understand the difference. All the promises were to the seed. So when God told Abraham, I will make you the head and not the tail, He was not talking about Abraham's children. He was talking about Jesus Christ, the seed, who he did make the head and not the tail. And he is the only head, and he will always be the head. And now we are in Christ, so we are also the head and not the tail. But if we really understood spiritual things, we wouldn't be trying to be like Abraham. We'd be walking in the life of Christ. But anyway, that's not what this devotion is about. So in the old covenant, he gives them the command, don't taste, don't touch, don't do this, don't do that. And they have to produce it. And if they can, then they'll be blessed. And if they can't, they'll be cursed. Well, obviously, they all ended up cursed. It didn't work. It doesn't work. It seems to work in the beginning if you're zealous enough, if you're passionate enough, if you fast enough, if you pray enough. If you do enough, you will appear holy, especially to other people, because they're not doing it. If you get rid of TV, get rid of all the stuff that other people do, and you spend, fast and pray and fast and pray and even hit yourself if you want. And fasting and praying is good. It's wonderful if you understand how to do it in the spirit. But when we do it with religion, we're trying to accomplish something that God has already accomplished, and we're wasting our time and our energy. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Now, watch this. The new covenant is not the commands of what to do and what not to do. In the new covenant, the law of life that is in Christ sets us free from the law that brought sin and death. That's what that scripture means if you understand it in Romans, the law of sin and death. The commandment brought death. It was the ministry of death and condemnation, the old covenant was. So, what sets me free from don't taste, don't touch, don't do this, don't do that? What sets me free is not some flippant idea of grace that we can all just run around and do what we want to now. That's not what sets me free from that. What sets me free from don't taste, don't touch, don't handle is the life of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that sets me free from the law that brings sin, death, and condemnation. For the law of life that is in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death, the ministry of death and condemnation, the law of Moses, the old covenant. The only thing that sets me free from that is the life of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a big difference in walking in the Spirit and after the Spirit and pursuing this life of Jesus by rejecting our life, by promoting his life, believing in his life, not trying to preserve our own, not trying to promote ours, not trying to even to present our life to him. No. We do present ourselves to him. But we present as a living sacrifice. Amen. There's only one. I'm not going to get into that. That's a different scripture. But anyway, praise the Lord. We are not in the covenant of don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. We are in the covenant of the law of life that is in Christ. So as we walk after the Spirit, of course, there are going to be many things if you're walking in the Spirit that you won't touch, that you won't taste, that you won't handle. But it won't be because you're following a list of do's and don'ts that man has come up with, or even that God gave to man. It doesn't mean you're following a list of do's and don'ts. If you're walking in the Spirit, then there's a lot of things you simply don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. Many get confused because there are scriptures that say the opposite, but they're really not. It's just understanding spiritually. Come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing. That's also in the New Testament, quoted from the Old. Touch not, and I'll be a father unto you, praise the Lord. And then we get to the scripture that says, don't submit to touch not. He's saying the exact opposite, but actually, he's not. You see, when we walk in the Spirit, ask yourself a question. Would Jesus have ever gotten drunk? I mean, it's an easy answer, and everybody would say no, he wouldn't get drunk. Now there's a debate on whether he would drink or not. I believe he did because the Pharisees accused him. You're a drunkard and a glutton because he ate and drank. John neither ate nor drank, and they said he had a demon. So I believe that he did, but he wasn't a drunkard. Why would he ever get drunk? His life doesn't do that. Would Jesus ever use an illicit substance like a heroin or something like that? No. He would never, ever do something like that. Why? Because his life doesn't do that. It would never do that. So if I'm walking in his life, there are things that I don't do. Would Jesus look at pornography? Of course he wouldn't do that. His life doesn't do that. And so if I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm walking in the life of God, nobody has to tell me, don't touch that. Don't do that. That'll harm you. Of course I won't do that, because if I'm walking in the life of God, I don't want that. So really what it boils down to is, if I'm still doing all kinds of things that Moses said not to do, if I'm still doing all kinds of things that we can look in the past and see that God disapproves of, then the fact of the matter is, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking truly in the life of Jesus Christ. And so I need to find out what went wrong. Why am I not walking in his life, and how do I lay hold of it? That's why Paul told Timothy, lay hold of eternal life. He's not talking about make sure you get into heaven by your works. He's talking about lay hold of this life of Christ. It's a journey. It's our mission to press into the mark of the high calling that is in Christ. What is your mission in life? It is to lay hold of Jesus Christ. It's to lay hold of his life. That's what it's all about. And you can't do it without hating your own. So you go through these cycles. You go through pain, you go through difficulty, and you start learning you're not what you think you are. You start learning you're not so good after all. You start learning you're not so right after all. And it starts bringing you to a place to see why you had to die, and to believe in his life and not your own. And through the sufferings of Christ, we are delivered from the carnal. We're delivered from the natural. Praise God. Well, this went long, but God bless you today. I don't want to go too much longer, but I do want to wrap this up, because what's interesting here is it says that taste not, touch not. If you understand the last verse, now sometimes you got to get a few different versions and break it down, because it's kind of a complicated sentence, but I think the New American Standard does it justice. What it's actually saying is, touch not, taste not, handle not. None of these things have no value when it comes to getting rid of fleshly indulgence. Let me put it in common English. All the fasting, praying, don't touch, don't do this, don't do that, is not going to give you power over the flesh. It won't. Now, it seems in the beginning it does, for sure, because you're weak. You start fasting, you start doing all these things, it seems, okay, now I'm getting somewhere, because you're weak. But as soon as you begin to eat again, you're strengthened again. So there's no value in these things by themselves. There's no value in fasting by itself. There's no value in will worship, in extreme zeal. There's no value in it. There's no, why? Because it doesn't change you. You're still the same whenever you're strong again, whenever you come off the mountain again, you're still the same thing. And so it doesn't work. The old covenant doesn't really bring about the righteousness of the kingdom of God. The value is in knowing that I died with Jesus Christ. It's in knowing that I died. And when I died with him, I died to the elementary principles. I think King James used the word rudiments here. And that is an amazing word whenever you study it. My daughter just came in, but whenever you study this word rudiments, it's about, I don't know, seven or eight places in the New Testament. And every single time it's talking about the basic principles of the world, the way things are set up and organized in the world. Every single time it's talking about that. And the most interesting scripture is the only one that sounds like it's not talking about that, but it is. It's in 2 Peter, where it says, the day of the Lord, all the rudiments of the world will melt with fervent heat. And it says elements of the world in King James. So people think that just means the earth, everything's going to melt. But that's not what it's talking about. It's rudiments. It's that word that means the basic principles of the world. So in the coming, the day of the Lord, what is burned with fervent heat until it is no more is the way of man. It's the way man does things. It's do not taste, don't touch, don't. All of man, all of flesh, and all of these things we're dealing with are going to be completely burnt up, and all of it goes to nothing. So don't lean on what men believe in. Don't go after the way of man. Okay, here's the way we get victory. We don't taste, we don't touch, we don't do this, we don't do that. Man's trying to figure it out. That's what they're doing. Everything man is doing is trying to figure things out, and they'll never get it figured out. The answer is Jesus, and it's the only answer. Praise God. So none of these things have any value in themselves. Fasting, praying, even reading the scriptures, even going to church, even pursuing religion and becoming the most knowledgeable religious person on earth. It has no value. Look at the Pharisee, the Sadducee, the teacher of the law. They didn't know him. It doesn't really have value. The only thing that really has value is believing what he did at the cross. Pressing into it, understanding it, confessing, believing, and laying hold of what he did there. And everything you go through in this world is to push you to do that. It's to bring you to that place to press into that high calling that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise God. God bless you today, beloved. You probably hear my dogs wrestling in the background there. But love you in Jesus' name. Have a blessed and spirit-filled day. Amen.